Howdy, neighbors. Ron Hayes with you today here on our Ag Perspectives podcast. And joining us is Dr. Jeff Edwards, Extension Wheat Specialist for Oklahoma State University. Jeff, here we are, first couple of days in the month of October, and we've already got a fair amount of wheat in the ground for the state of Oklahoma, but this is prime time as far as planting this 2013 crop.
It is, for grain only especially. This is when it needs to be going in the ground. Our producers are playing a little bit of a game of catch-up. We had a really dry September, had some wheat dusted in, and in a few places maybe had enough moisture to get a stand. But that that dual-purpose wheat that we normally plant in September just didn't happen. So as we've gotten this moisture here around the first part of October, the drills have really started rolling, and it's just broken loose in terms of planting.
I know, obviously, there was a lot of hopes for wheat pasture. Is that kind of diminished, you think?
Well, you know, we were in a similar situation last year, and I had very low expectations in terms of wheat pasture, and the year turned out to be a good one for wheat pasture. But if we have what is anything close to a normal year, I have fairly low expectations for wheat pasture in the state of Oklahoma. We're simply getting a late start, and it's going to be very difficult to catch up and make up for that lost time.
So that's something that probably most guys are going to have to pretty well write off this year.
It is. Even a best-case scenario, I think we're looking at a year where we have maybe half the normal amount of wheat pasture, and I know that's going to be just an added crunch on our cattle producers with the lack of warm season grasses out there.
Right. Now, let's talk a little bit about what you're hearing from producers as they look at, you know, this prime period of October to get this crop into the ground. Are you thinking pretty well normal acres with that 5 million, 5.5 million that we've seen in recent years?
I think we'll be at about 5.5 million acres again, just where we typically are. We've lost a few acres to canola, and that's a great thing. I hope we lose a few more wheat acres to canola. But even with that coming into play, I think we'll be at around 5.5 million planted acres. We'll have to wait and see what happens in terms of harvested acres, though.
Right. Now, you mentioned the fact that it's a good thing to see a few of these acres going over to canola, and that is all about weed pressure as much as anything. Dr. Pieper, of course, several years ago, started promoting the idea of a rotational crop with our winter wheat to try to break the weed cycle. It's having some impact, isn't it?
Absolutely, it's having an impact. If you don't believe it's having an impact, just talk to a producer who has grown canola and what it's like to grow wheat after canola. It cleans up the field. You get about at least a 10% yield bump from the rotation effect. It just has a lot of things going for it, and the price has been good in recent years. So if you're dealing with problem weeds, there's absolutely no reason not to give canola a try. And even if you don't have problem weeds out there, much of the yield bump is just simply from the rotation effect. Mm-hmm. There's no reason not to give canola a try.
I know with that deeper taproot, it obviously helps break up some hard pan and whatnot.
It does help break up the hard pan. And if you're someone maybe who has tried canola 7 or 8 years ago, or your neighbors did, we have come a long way with canola in the southern Great Plains. We have improved varieties and hybrids out there to grow. We've improved our technology in the area of no-till canola. We've made a lot of improvements. We've learned a lot. So it's really here, and I believe here to stay, or at least I hope it is.
Now you were indicating to me that literally the middle 10 days of October are the prime time if you're wanting to go for full-fledged grain production in the state.
If we could pick a 10-day window to plant all the wheat in Oklahoma, it would be October 10th through 20th. That is prime time year in and year out where you're going to make the best grain yield. Of course, we deviate from that from year to year, but if you look over the long haul, that's really when our best grain yields occur.
Now, as we think about getting this crop in the ground, getting up to stand, I know one conversation we're having with a lot of producers is stay on top of some of this management, especially weed control.
It's so important to control those weeds in the fall whenever they are very small. They're just so much easier to control. Our herbicides are more efficacious. And if you need a reason, the primary reason to control in the fall is that if you wait until spring, it's next to impossible to catch up. You can still control the weeds in many cases in the spring, but if you look at the amount of grain yield that is lost to weed competition, it has already occurred by the time spring rolls around. So you have to get them when they're small, when they're easy to kill, and before they have a chance to compete with your crop.
I know that one thing that we're concerned about is weed resistance, weeds adapting to the chemistry that we have.
We are. They've dealt with this in summer crops for quite a while with the reliance on Roundup Ready technology. The first thing that we saw in Oklahoma in terms of winter weeds was ALS-resistant Italian ryegrass. We saw our products such as Finesse and other products beyond that just didn't work anymore on these resistant weeds. Well, along came Axial XL, a different chemistry, and it's worked very well for us, but they have Italian ryegrass that is resistant to ALS chemistry and to Axial XL in northeast Texas, in Arkansas. It's just a matter of time before it's here in Oklahoma. So we have to make use of these products while they work, take care of the problem, and don't reintroduce it.
I guess literally some of those seeds can kind of drift in on the wind, and there she goes.
They can. In my opinion, the way that a lot of the weed problems get introduced is through seed. And the way to avoid that is simply by buying certified seed and buying it from someone with a good reputation mm-hmm. that you trust to make sure once that field is clean, it stays clean. Cheap seed is never a bargain.
Let's talk about seed for a moment, Jeff. What about our supplies of some of our better genetics here in the fall of 2012? How have our seed supplies and what sort of varieties are you seeing folks wanting to use here as they plant for next year's harvest?
Well, as usual, the newest genetics, the supplies were pretty tight mm-hmm. and the demand was very high. I do think our newest varieties that we're introducing, such as Gallagher, Iba, Ruby Lee, there was more seed available of those and more seed went out than traditionally has occurred with brand-new varieties. Our folks at Foundation Seed are doing a bang-up job of increasing that seed rapidly. So seed was tight this fall. I think by the time the fall of 2013 rolls around, there will be quite a bit of Ruby Lee out there to be had and a moderate amount of Gallagher and Iba to be had as well. So keep an eye on those new varieties this year. In fall of 2013, I think you'll be able to get your hands on some.
And, of course, the standby in recent years has been Duster. Is it you're hoping for another good year from it, obviously?
I am hoping for a good year from Duster. Last year wasn't the best year for Duster, but even when Duster wasn't having the best year, it was still average or above average. It had too many tillers last year, tillered out too much, and the heat and drought really hurt it. Mm-hmm. If we bounce back to closer to what I would call a normal year this year, I look for Duster to bounce back. The one thing to keep an eye on Duster in the spring is with the use of foliar fungicides. That might be warranted. But I look for Duster to bounce back and have a good year and probably remain the number one variety in the state for the next few years.
Now, as far as the other management things that we've normally have tried to talk a little bit about over the summer months especially, we talked quite a bit about some of the things that we needed to do regarding fertility also. And what is the now that we're actually got the planters rolling, what is the recommendation? How are you wanting producers to move forward from this spot on?
Well, regarding fertility, nitrogen fertility this fall, the die is pretty much cast because that needed to occur prior to planting. At this time, at planting, putting 50 pounds per acre of DAP or a comparable liquid product in furrow to provide phosphorus is a good bet in Oklahoma almost invariably. The other thing that producers need to be doing this fall is putting out nitrogen-rich strips. Every field, in a day, you could put one out in almost all of your fields. You can even find many of our cooperators in private industry that will do that for you. It's time and money well spent because whenever it comes time for top dress in the spring, you're going to be able to evaluate that nitrogen-rich strip and determine, first of all, do you need to apply top dress? Second of all, how much should you apply? Mm-hmm. All from just a few pounds of nitrogen put out in the fall.
As you talk to producers, I know that you have a chance to get on the phone and talk to them, see some of them in person and whatnot. What is the attitude as we go into this planting of the 2013 crop?
Optimistic. We came off of a good year. last year, and even though it came off of a slow start, everything's turned out pretty well. Price is good. They're pretty optimistic. And I think as long as we catch some rain about mid-October, they will remain optimistic. If we stay in a pattern where we stay dry till the end of October, that level of optimism might go down a little bit. But just a few timely rains, and I think they're going to be pretty bullish on wheat for the foreseeable future.
Of course, you mentioned price, $8.79, that crop insurance peg.
Yeah, that helps a lot. And it makes a lot of the inputs that we might be on the fence with whenever wheat is $3 or $4 a bushel, it makes them look much more attractive. At $8 or $9 a bushel, many of the crop inputs we talk about, it just takes a bushel or two to pay for them. So it makes that decision much easier.
So when we start talking about herbicides, talking about fungicides, all these type of things, right?
Right. It just takes a few bushels. Many of our herbicide applications, a couple of bushels of wheat improvement, and they're going to pay for themselves. The key is just get those herbicides on early when the weeds are small. Wait till the weeds are emerged for those contact herbicides, but get them when they're small.
Okay. Jeff, appreciate your time today. Dr. Jeff Edwards joining us from Oklahoma State University. I'm Ron Hayes on the Oklahoma Farm Report.